We're going to have a fascinating interview with a fascinating guest on a fascinating subject, Jonathan Cahn, talking about his new book, The Paradigm.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We really are going to have a fascinating interview today. Welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Jonathan Cahn and I have known each other for a good number of years as leaders within the Messianic Jewish movement. And Jonathan remains the same person as I've always known him to be, God-fearing, very sober, taking the word very seriously, very concerned about the state of America, and not afraid to address controversial issues. The fact that he suddenly became a New York Times bestselling author with his first book, The Harbinger, has not changed him at all. What it's done is amplified his voice. His newest book, The Paradigm, another instant New York Times bestseller. We're going to talk about it. We're going to raise questions about what's in the book, what's in the Bible. Is the Bible foretelling future events, or are they just striking parallels? Has Jonathan discovered something? We're going to talk about that today on The Line of Fire. Jonathan, great to have you back with us. Thanks so much for joining us.
Joy, Michael, and everything you just said about me, I could say about you. So it's always a joy and it's an honor to be with you. And it's always one of my great. I do a lot of interviews, and with you, it's just one of my favorites. So.
Well, I appreciate that, and there's never a dull moment in our interviews. Jonathan, in this first segment, which is a short one, I just want people to know and understand your heart a little bit, even as we talk about how you came to write The Paradigm. But you had been teaching on the content of The Harbinger for some time before you put it in book form. Is that correct?
Yes, from about 2005, and then it became a book in 2010.
All right, and when you were working on the book, were you thinking, man, I'm going to put this out, this is going to be some national bestseller, we're going to get rich off this book? Because you have all the critics that think you're just trying to come up with something that's going to sell. I don't think people realize how much of a phenomenon it was for The Harbinger to explode the way it exploded nationally.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, and you know me, Mike. I didn't think anything like that. In fact, I never even thought of writing. I knew I was called to write books, but I never thought of, okay, The Harbinger's a book. I shared it as a message. Everybody said, this has got to go out. This has got to go to America. But I didn't do anything. I prayed about it, and then one day it just came to me, this has got to be a book form. I wrote it. I didn't think of it in those terms. I didn't have a doubt that it was God and that he would send it forth. That's the one confidence I knew. But as beyond that, no. I'm not, you know, I've never been a business person, and, you know, the only thing is...
To this day,
get the word out, and I that's it. I just had confidence that it was the Lord.
All right, so we've got a little over a minute. The paradigm, were you studying Scripture and something started to jump off the pages? How did you come up with this new concept for the book?
It came this very much the same way The Harbinger did. With The Harbinger, I'm standing at ground zero, I see a tree, and something says, you have to seek this out, and then it becomes this puzzle piece, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, with The Paradigm, I wasn't seeking it. I was going to do a different book, and it was January of this year. It just started coming that, wait a minute, there's a parallel here. What's this? And it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and much of what you see in The Paradigm, where it actually gets down to exact years or exact dates, that didn't come till the end. And a lot of it came, I remember I was in my bed with my wife sleeping, I'm on my bed, and all these things started coming. I said, no, that can't be. And I got up, I got on my laptop and said, wow, this is all true. So it came to me before I even knew that it was going to be confirmed.
Interesting.
Which is very, very much the way The Harbinger came.
Interesting. Right. So it's one thing after another after another. And friends, when folks ask me, they said, what's your take on The Harbinger? I said, the fact that it instantly became a New York Times bestseller with a warning for America, that Jonathan has now spoken to the UN, has spoken to congressional members, and his book's been distributed in Congress. I said, God's getting our attention. You evaluate the book, God's getting our attention. The same thing with The Paradigm. And in fact, we're going to let you know how you can get The Paradigm and today's exclusive interview, the entire broadcast with Jonathan. He's busy, but he gives us this entire hour so we can really dive into this together. We'll be right back.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here with my friend, Messianic Jewish best-selling author, Jonathan Kahn, his new book, The Paradigm. All right, Jonathan, what is The Paradigm? Set the stage for us.
Yeah, the paradigm is, I would say this, imagine that they discovered an ancient blueprint that lie behind what we are witnessing now, that the events of our times actually giving not just the events, but the timing of events, the down to the years, in some cases the month, in some cases even the dates, if it actually spoke of the people of our times and what they would do and describe them by using ancient prototypes. Behind the leaders of our times, there was an ancient leader, and they're actually following in the footsteps. Not that they realize it, and it's not about people. We need to pray for all the people involved. But they're following in it. It actually gives the time that they will be allotted on the world stage. And what if it gave a warning? What if it could actually speak of election outcomes before they happened? And what if we could open this up? Would it have a warning for us, or would it have an encouragement for us? Well, that's what the paradigm is. The paradigm is this ancient blueprint from the Bible, 2,500 years old or more than that, and that is replaying now or giving us warning now. And I would say this, if we had known the paradigm beforehand, if we had, and I didn't, you know, but if we had, you could have actually put on your calendar, you could have marked key pivotal events of our lifetime down to their exact dates.
All right, so in your view, is this prophecy being given in history? In other words, it's one thing if the prophet says, at a certain time, thus and such will happen. And then history is, this is what happened in the past. Are you saying that this is like deja vu all over again, that history has become prophecy?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's with you know, Paul said that these things happened, and he's talking about Israel's history as examples for us, or the Greek word is tupos, or type. It also means paradigm. It's not saying that, you know, this is as saying that this has to happen at this time and this has to happen at this time, but that God is the one who weaves everything together, and God uses his word to speak, and God uses what's in the Bible to speak as examples, and God, in weaving everything together, is able to weave warnings and also have things repeat that it gives us insight about where we are right now, where are we heading, what's happening. So it's kind of like symbolic prophecy, where like when God gives gives prophetic symbols and prophetic actions and prophetic objects, and they relate to things that happen after that.
All right, so as you're looking back at the history of Israel and First and Second Kings, etc., and looking at ancient kings, ancient queens, you're seeing this as striking parallels for things happening today, and you'll get into some detail. Again, readers, listeners, dig in, evaluate this. That's why Jonathan has laid it out so meticulously. So let's start with the first king that you want to look at that strikes you, gets your attention as parallel to someone today.
Well, in the big picture is the nation that has known God, Israel, is falling away rapidly from God into sexual immorality, into driving God out of the public square, into offering up their children, calling good evil, and all those things. We're witnessing that in America and in the Western world. And yet it enters a period of acceleration, where actually biblical values now are getting trumped by anti-biblical values, and it's even being endorsed from the throne. It's like a culture war. Well, in Israel, this happens with a king named Ahab, or Ahab. And Ahab has known of God. I mean, he knows, you know, basic things. He's from a culture that has known God. But he will champion policies that will war against God. Baal worship, which involves child sacrifice, sexual immorality. He'll be a man who's divided, who's compromised, who wavers back and forth, emotional and diluted. He's kind of a man in apostasy. Well, about a quarter century ago, we had what was called the culture war, and it was linked to a man who rose to power, who was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton will follow the paradigm of Ahab, and in this way, one is he, you know, came from the Bible Belt, knew of God, but he ended up championing values that went diametrically opposed to the Bible. Actually, he's the first president in history, just like Ahab was the first king to endorse these things. Clinton was the first president to endorse basically abortion, child sacrifice. Totally so. Partial birth abortion. All the also sexual morality. He was the first president to push things in a direction. We're still living with it now. And he went back and forth, and he wavered, and all that. Well, there's a chapter in the book called The Days of the King, and the question is asked: how long was Clinton on the national stage? Well, he rose in 1979. He was elected governor of Arkansas. Lasted all the way till 2001 at the end of his presidency. So that's 22 years of Bill Clinton. If you open up 1 Kings, it says Ahab, son of Omri, reigned in Samaria for a period of 22 years. Same thing, following the same pattern. And we're going to see he's not the only one who will do that. It's going to be one after the other. And he wasn't alone, of course. There was somebody with him. And again, it's not about the people or their motives, but it's about the sign. And her name was Isabel, and we know her as Jezebel. And she was the Phoenician princess. She was actually the daughter of the priest of Astarte. So she grew up venerating female power, is in a cosmopolitan culture, a liberal culture. She moves to Israel, sees it as a backwards conservative culture. She seeks to overturn the religious beliefs of Israel and endorse Baal worship. And it leads to a big war. She incites her husband. She becomes a co-regent with her husband. Well, this, of course, is going to lead to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is going to follow the paradigm of Jezebel. And in this way, she comes from a cosmopolitan culture, unlike her husband, comes from Chicago, she venerates female power. She moves to the Bible Belt to marry Bill Clinton, never adopts those ways. She sees traditional values as something to be overcome. She makes this famous statement. We've all commented on it. She said, deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed so that abortion can expand. I cannot think of a more Jezebelian statement than that. You know, and so she does that, and she becomes the chief champion in America, as Jezebel was with Baal worship, chief champion of abortion. She was voted by Planned Parenthood the abortion champion of the century. So you have this co-presidency, and you're going to and I'll just throw this in. This is, you know, I won't go into detail. There's a chapter called The Goddess, and at one point, Jezebel actually brings in priests of the goddess worship into the palace. Could that ever happen in America? Well, the amazing thing is it did. The Clintons actually brought New Age counselors to the highest realms of government for counseling. And then the First Lady brought in a woman who was called the High Priestess in the New Age, and actually endorsed goddess worship, wrote a book of goddess worship, and she conducted sessions in the White House with Hillary Clinton, which involved consulting with the dead and channeling and conjuring. They tried to kind of downplay it, but that's exactly what it was. And the woman, when she wrote a book, her name was Jean Houston, she wrote a book on goddess worship. She actually mentions the goddess that Jezebel worshipped, Astarte or Ashtoreth.
All right, so let me ask this. You document this. You're giving information here. Do you back this up? Do you document these quotes? Do you have sources for this in your book, The Paradigm?
Everything is documented. It's filled with quotes, and they actually researched everything with the publishers. Everything is quoted, and anybody can go on the internet and see these things for themselves.
All right, so we've got a couple minutes still in the segment. Let me ask a question that just digs us a little deeper. We can have our differences with Bill and Hillary Clinton and much of their agenda, or with Barack Obama, or with George Bush, or with Donald Trump. We can have our differences with different political leaders. Do you feel that if you look back in Scripture and see an Ahab and a Jezebel, the type of leaders they were, and the negative effect that had on the history of Israel, does that underscore things to you when you see a modern parallel today? Does that drive it home all the more, and you say, oh my God, look at how this affected Israel. Now look at how this is affecting America.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, it makes it. I mean, we not that we don't know it, and most of us we didn't have feelings or senses of it, but it is strikingly clear that this is in the direction of this, and this is whether it's Obama, it's going to go all the way up to Trump. Where are we? Where do we stand, and where do the leaders stand? Where do the agendas stand with regard to God's word and God's ways? And if this happened to Israel, what will happen to America? You know, there's a whole part of this which deals with the future and where are we heading, and what is the warning of where we are? Where we are right now, what is the warning? And at the same time, as believers, we need to pray for all these people, you know, and pray they get saved for those who need to be.
Yeah, and you know, Jonathan, what comes to mind, and when we come back, we're going to get into the question of who is the nemesis, what's the mystery of days. Yeah, we're gonna open this up, And it's all documented in Jonathan's book, The Paradigm, which when you get, you'll study, you'll dig in, and learn as you go. I remember listening to David Wilkerson preach about things, and the question was asked, well, is America mentioned in the Bible? And one of his points would be, look at how God dealt with Israel, or look at how God dealt with other nations, and look at when his patience ran out and he said, okay, I have to bring judgment. Look at those same principles and now apply them to America. What Jonathan's saying is, look at them now, not just in the macro way, but in the micro way. Friends, you can get the book, The Paradigm, and exclusively the CD with this entire interview at our website. Take advantage of the special offer. It's also a way for you to stand with us and support our ministry. AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, the hardcover book together with this exclusive CD interview. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Jonathan Kahn, a good friend for many years, a man who fears God, who hates sin, and who loves truth. He's written a new New York Times best-selling book, The Paradigm, where he finds fascinating parallels between ancient kings of Israel and modern presidents and leaders of America, in some cases strikingly detailed parallels. Jonathan, we were talking before the break about Bill and Hillary Clinton, about some of the bizarre things that were even brought into the White House by Hillary Clinton. You mention in the book, The Paradigm, the nemesis. Who is the nemesis?
Well, in the ancient, the paradigm of Ahab, Jezebel, in those days, a man rises up and he becomes an enemy of the nation, an archenemy in the days of Ahab. And he comes from the east and he speaks a Semitic language, and he threatens the nation with he's going to invade it, and he actually will invade it. At one point, God will deliver this man, this archenemy, into Ahab's hand, but Ahab will let him go, and God will rebuke him. You can read it in Kings. He'll rebuke him and says, well, there's going to be calamity now. And what happens is, so could it be that a man rises up in the days of Bill Clinton who becomes the threat, the archenemy of America? Well, it happens. It's in Clinton's years that Osama bin Laden rises up from the east, speaking a Semitic man, and actually even the name of the ancient nemesis, it actually has the parameters of the name of bin Laden, I mean part of it, and he threatens the nation, he's threatening America with bringing destruction to invade it, and could it be that actually Clinton had bin Laden delivered into his hands but let him go? Well, the answer is yes. The 9/11 commission found out that he could have eliminated him. He chose to release him just like Ahab did. It happened not once, it happened 9 times, and thus comes 9/11. And not only that, but I mean, maybe in the second part, what happens to bin Laden is also all detailed. The way he will be assassinated and the timing of it will all be in The Paradigm as well.
Yeah, well, okay, let's just open that up for a moment. So often when Israel would sin, the hedge of protection would be taken away, and God would even stir up enemies, even invaders, and it would be part of divine judgment on Israel for forsaking the Lord. So here, Ahab leading northern Israel in godless ways, the adversary, Ben-Hadad, attacking, etc. So what now happens? You say there's even a parallel between the death of Ben-Hadad and the death of Osama bin Laden?
Yeah, well, what happens is that, you know, after 9/11, what happens is that, there's this massive manhunt, of course, and it grows cold. Nobody knows what happened to bin Laden. But the paradigm says, from Ben-Hadad, he will be assassinated, and it describes it. It even says it's going to happen through his courier, and actually bin Laden's assassination happened through his courier. That's how they found him. But also, it happens with the ancient nemesis is lying in his bed when the assassination begins. So bin Laden is lying in his bed. It begins. The assassins will come into his bedroom and execute him in his bedroom, well, in the ancient case. And so with bin Laden, he's executed in his bedroom. And it happens in the reign of the King Joram. We won't go in, we haven't gotten there yet, but Joram corresponds with Obama and happens in his time. And it gives the timing of it. It says it will happen, according to the paradigm, it's 10 years after the nemesis brings destruction or calamity on the nation. You count 10 years to the 10th year, he will be assassinated. Well, that was Bin Laden was 2001. Count to the 10th year, it's 2011. 2011 is the year that Bin Laden is assassinated.
Mm. Again, friends, if you're listening, I know I've got a wide range of listeners, some eating up every word, some very skeptical. My question is always, what if God's trying to get our attention? What if this is another way for the ancient scriptures to jump off the page to warn America, because that's been Jonathan's heart from the start, to warn America, but then always with repentance, there can be mercy. All right, let's keep going. And again, friends, it's a detailed book. I'm holding it here, a beautiful hardcover. So it's chock full of information. We're doing our best to give you an overview with enough details to whet your appetite. So the paradigm speaks of an ancient scandal.
Yes.
What does that scandal have to do with our times?
Yeah, well, the reign of Ahab and Jezebel is not just about apostasy, it's about personal scandal. And it's called, in the Bible, it's the scandal of Naboth. They break many of the Ten Commandments to get this. I won't go into detail, but to say this. The Clinton years are not just about values and public policy. Also, it would be a personal scandal. So that's exactly what they were. It culminates in the Monica Lewinsky scandal. And in that, with that, he was impeached for that. But in the ancient scandal with Ahab, what happens is that it's actually linked, the fall of Ahab and the end of Ahab is actually linked to the tribe of Levi. I won't go into all the details, but it's linked to the Levitical law, it's linked to a Levitical city, linked to the tribe of Levi. Could a modern presidential scandal, could that actually be linked to the ancient tribe of Levi? Well, from Levi you get the word Levin, from Levin you get Lewin, from Lewin you get Lewinsky. Lewinsky literally simply means Levite. And so literally the same components, the same tribe linked to the fall of Ahab is actually linked to the scandal of Bill Clinton. And when this thing takes place, or when it's exposed in the time of Ahab, it's the 19th year from when Ahab begins to reign. Well, if you take the 19th year of Bill Clinton when he began as governor of Arkansas reign, it takes you to 1998. 1998 is the year that the scandal is exposed to the world.
All right, friends, the book, The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. To get the book together with my exclusive one-hour interview with Jonathan Cahn, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Jonathan, before we dig in further and go through some more things here, there are many people who read the Bible and think that to try to come up with specific details like this or parallels like that is far-fetched and not what the Bible is about. Others, do it every day on every page. And
right.
I think what we need to remember, however we come down on these things, whatever we end up understanding, is that God is speaking to us today. In other words, whether there was no Monica Lewinsky ever, the fact is the Word of God, the ancient accounts, the thing that God has written, they are relevant to us today. And as you said earlier, 1 Corinthians 10, what was written before was written to warn us so we wouldn't do the same things that Israel did. So when you're seeing these things, obviously they're jumping off the page to you and you're getting excited and overwhelmed at the same moment. But is there a rising fear of God that comes in you when you're doing this, or a rising concern for America?
Yeah, I'd say a rising awe of God or reverence of God. And yeah, then when I look at the ramifications, yeah, great fear for America. And I mean, and this is exactly, as you just said, if you didn't have all the details, we still know the principles are still true. I mean, the principles of it applies anyway. Any nation that goes against God, this is what happens, and this is where we are. And so we have to know the signs of the times. And yeah, and so, what happened with the Harbinger and what's happening with the paradigm is people are praying. There have been prayer movements being launched. And that's my heart. And then the next part is repentance.
Yeah, prayer, repentance, so that God has mercy on our land. And again, as I encourage you, get the book, dig through it, come to your own conclusions. But the goal is an awakening of our own hearts that we turn to God and repent. We'll be right back to talk about some amazing open doors.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking today with a dear friend, Jonathan Cahn, Messianic Jewish leader, and a New York Times best-selling author now with blockbuster book after blockbuster book. And every so often at a conference or a special gathering, Jonathan and I will get time together. And you know what we talk about? We talk about the state of the nation. We talk about the need for repentance. We talk about a holy God. That's what we talk about because that's what burns in both of our hearts. And that's why he's written these books, the latest being The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. I want to step back for a moment before we dig into some of the things that Jonathan opens up in his new book. And I want to talk about some of the supernatural things that happened when Jonathan wrote his book, The Harbinger. Jonathan, this was the first book that you had published. You were known in your area as a congregational leader. You were known in the Messianic movement, but you were not a nationally known figure in the larger body or in the larger nation. Yet suddenly, The Harbinger became a New York Times best-selling book. This is your first book, and it wasn't put out with, say, one of the biggest New York publishers, you know, with a massive publicity arm. How quickly did The Harbinger become a New York Times bestseller?
It happened as soon as it came out, and I think it caught everybody, including the publisher, you know, by surprise. They believed, you know, something big was going to happen, but they weren't prepared. And I think it was a month or 2 months where they were just generating more printing and more printing, more printing, because they just didn't expect. Everybody ran out of it, so yeah. It became a New York Times bestseller on the week it came out.
Utterly remarkable. As the author of 30 books, I understand, none of which yet has been a New York Times bestseller. I understand how remarkable it is. But let's go further. How long did it stay on the New York Times bestseller list?
It stayed for 100 weeks.
100 weeks. Yeah, this is
crazy.
Utterly remarkable. And that's why I kept telling people, look, I believe God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to get our attention. What kind of doors opened up for you subsequently? What audiences have you addressed since the book came out?
Well, it opened up to speak on Capitol Hill, to address members of Congress and leaders several times with an event that actually opened up because of The Harbinger. I was asked to speak at the United Nations, you know, again, all crazy, Michael, but, you know, and across the nation and leaders and people I never dreamed I'd be meeting and who are reading The Harbinger. I mean, presidential candidates who are reading The Harbinger or giving out The Harbinger or giving out the books, you know, and people who are distributing all these books to all members of Congress. So, I never would have imagined anything.
And when you spoke before the UN, what was your message on?
Well, I spoke two times, and the first time it was on the Christian persecution around the world, the persecution of believers. That was the first one. The second one was on, I had a little bit more open hand and spoke about Israel and prophecy and Messiah, Yeshua, and I went all out, you know, I kept the car running and then got out of there.
Amazing. Just amazing. All right. Your newest book, The Paradigm, why are you especially excited about this?
Well, it blew me away. I mean, first, before I even put it down, as with The Harbinger, that just it was one thing after the other. So that excites me when anything's of the Lord. And it intersects with The Harbinger. I was just speaking of the signs that happen that are replaying. Well, this is the paradigm is saying that everything else is part of this mystery as well. It's the events of our time. It's almost as if we are in one giant harbinger, that we are, our times themselves are reliving it. The things that affect our lives are all this way, and it's so specific that you know, you have dates. You know that God is in control. You know, so on one hand, it's a warning. It's a call. At the same time, it's a comfort if you're in the Lord and you're in His will, that God is in charge of everything.
Sovereign God, ruling and reigning, and yet events unfolding in front of us that are of massive, massive consequence. We get back. I want to ask Jonathan, how exact does this paradigm vision become? What about the mystery of days? We'll open this up. when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown with best-selling author Jonathan Cahn. His newest book, The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times, which has also become an instant New York Times bestseller. Jonathan looks back at things in Scripture as shocked to see the parallels between the Ahab and Jezebel relationship and the timing of their leadership over Israel and that of Bill and Hillary Clinton and impact on America, and sees this as an ancient paradigm for our times and a warning for us as well. Jonathan, what is the mystery of days or even the mystery of the day?
Yeah, the what happens is in the paradigm there is a moment where Ahab's scandal is exposed by Elijah, and so he repents, at least for a time. And so God says, I'm not going to bring the calamity now, but I'm going to delay it because of the repentance. And so the Bible gives a period of 3 years from the king's repentance to a calamity. Did Bill Clinton ever repent over the scandal that he did? Well, he denied it at first, then he had to confess it, but finally he did repent. It was a White House gathering of ministers, and he says, this is my repentance, I didn't do it before, and this is it before me. So if you take that day, what happens if you take the day of the king's repentance there, or the president, and you add the 3 years of the paradigm, and where does it take you? It takes you to the date September 11th, 2001. The day of the calamity upon America, 3 years from the king's repentance, exactly to the day. And when Clinton had that event of repentance, it was in the morning. So it takes you to the morning of 9/11, when it all happens. The White House event began at 8:30 in the morning. That comes to 8:30 of 9/11, pinpoints the hour that it begins within minutes of that. And then the White House event ends at 10:30. Well, go 3 years later, 9/11, 10:30. The last event of 9/11 happens, the fall of the North Tower happens at 10:29, then comes 10:30, and it's over. This is where I'm saying how exact this is. Now, this is not just years or the year. This is the month, the week, the day, the hour, where technically, if we had understood it, or if I had understood, if any of us had understood it, you could have actually, before Bin Laden knew about it, before the Pentagon knew, you could have actually put it in your calendar, because that's how exact God is.
Mm. All right, well, let's keep going.
Okay.
Ahab, his reign comes to an end at a certain point in history, but remarkably, Jezebel stays around. Now, again, if you're just tuning in, if you missed any part of what's being said, as Jonathan has said several times in the interview, we pray for Bill Clinton, we pray for Hillary Clinton, we pray for Barack Obama, Donald Trump, we pray for everyone that has been in power, is in power. We pray for changing of heart, we pray for God's best in their lives. What we're looking at is striking parallels between the past and the present, and even warnings. If this is how God dealt with sin in the past, or if this is the consequences of evil in the past, what about today? So Ahab gets off the scene as far as he's out as Israel's leader, but Jezebel survives him. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, a lot of people think, you know, they don't realize, they think, okay, Ahab ends, and then so did Jezebel. That's not what happened. Ahab ends, his reign ends, and Jezebel goes on the political stage. We know from later on in Scripture she is important politically. So what that means here is that the Clinton's reign, or his time in presidency, ends, but Hillary Clinton will go on politically on the stage. First time in American history a first lady does it in such a way. She becomes senator. According to the paradigm, Jezebel stays in the halls of power. So Hillary Clinton will be in the halls of power. Well, Jezebel will be in the capital city. So Hillary Clinton will be in the capital city, not as the first lady, but the former first lady, but influencing power, influencing government. And at one point, in 2008, she'll seek to become president, but in the paradigm, that's not what happens. At that point, what happens is it goes to a younger man, and that introduces the next one, who's in the chapter in the book is called The Heir, and it's King Joram. And Joram will be the mystery of Barack Obama, or Barack Obama will follow the paradigm of Joram. And what Joram does, in a nutshell, Joram is basically following the policies of Ahab overall. And so Barack Obama will follow basically the policies that began in the Clinton years, whether it's Hillary Care becomes Obamacare, whether it's on abortion, whether it's on sexual morality. He'll follow all those things. And when Joram gets into the throne, he's not there alone. Next to him on the throne is the former first lady, is Jezebel. She's there as an advisor or a queen mother. Well, Barack Obama does something unprecedented. He has the former first lady be with him in the White House at the time as they do this. And ultimately, there are chapters on this. Joram is a different temperament. He's kind of a cooler temperament, and yet his reign is noted by hostility to God, or misunderstanding of God and hostility to God's people. Well, very much the policies of the Obama years were that. And Obama, how long was he on the national stage? Well, he rose, nobody knew about him until he spoke at that Democratic convention, pretty much, and that was 2004. And he was catapulted by that one speech. So 2004, his last year as president was 2016. That comes to 12 years. So you have 12 years of Barack Obama. Go back to his ancient prototype. Go back to Joram. In 2 Kings, it says Joram reigned in Samaria for a period of 12 years.
Mm. All right, so you're looking at Barack Obama being on the scene 12 years, just as Bill Clinton was elected governor and then served governor, and then president, and that's over a period of 22 years parallel to Ahab. So you don't see Joram then as innovating things as much as carrying out what was already done, but with Jezebel at his side as you're reading it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It was Ahab who pioneered these things, the first king, but Joram in his way continues them. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and again,
I
just want to underscore this because I want to help as many folks to be stirred as possible. All right. So I want to help the skeptics, and I want to help those who are eating up every word be stirred just the same way. So here's my question. Are there striking parallels? Can you look at a President Clinton and a Hillary Clinton and look at an Ahab and a Jezebel and see certain parallels? Can you see how God dealt with Israel based on those things? Can you see the effects of those? What fascinates me most is where we end up with a Jehu figure, which we'll get to shortly. So the thing is, okay, is there – I want every one of you to get the maximum out of this that you can. So I want the skeptic to say, I don't know, parallels, he's trying to make everything work. It's like, yeah, well, there's a certain point you wonder, boy, it's kind of striking. This is it. This may work here, but how does this also work and that work? But what's God saying? Put the paradigm aside for the moment. Reading the ancient scripture and living in America today, what's God saying to us? Now overlay that, striking parallel after striking parallel, and say, okay, this underscores the urgency of what God is saying even more. So what happens now to Jezebel? What happens with the next major player on the scene as we begin to develop this?
Yeah, what happens in the paradigm is the nation comes to a crossroads, a juncture, where if the house of Ahab continues in power, then it's going to basically seal the nation's apostasy. It's going to wipe out religious freedom. It's going to stamp out things in the north for believers. And so it's a critical period. And then a surprise comes. Well, with America, we were also at a very critical juncture. We're still at a critical juncture, but it was that election. That if the Democrats had won, it would have sealed the Supreme Court. It would have sealed religious liberty. They were vowing to strike down the Hyde Amendment, meaning we were all going to be paying directly for abortion. It was going to be a massive thing, and many believers were preparing for it. But there's a surprise in the paradigm, and the surprise is the figure, a new figure in the book. The chapter is called The Warrior. He is Jehu. Jehu is going to be the mystery of Donald Trump, or Donald Trump's going to follow the paradigm of Jehu. Jehu was not a politician, neither is Donald Trump. Jehu was a fighter. Donald Trump is a fighter. He fights with everybody. Jehu was not a gentleman. He was a coarse man. He was wild in many ways. In many ways, and so is Donald Trump. In many ways, it looks at times that Jehu's out of control. Well, so would Donald Trump. It has looked that way. But God chooses to use Jehu for his purposes. Unlikely, but he chooses it. And the question is, well, how can God use someone? Well, God can use anyone, and God does use. He's sovereign, as you said. And so, therefore, you know, the very same things, you know, Jehu had not been following God. You know, in fact, he was on the wrong side of the culture war. He was for Baal worship. He was serving Ahab. So Donald Trump was on the wrong side of all these things in the past, but then he changed, just like Jehu did. And so Jehu is anointed to go to the throne. He mounts up a race. He begins a race to the throne, and when the watchman sees him coming, he says, you know, I don't know who it is, but the driving is like that of Jehu, for he driveth furiously, or the Hebrew shagem means he drives crazy. The race is led by a madman, you know, in some of your Bibles. Well, if we describe the race of Donald Trump, it was crazy, crazily led, yet Jehu makes it to the city. And when he gets there, it becomes ultimately a showdown in the end between him, between the warrior and the former first lady. It's Jehu, and then it's Jezebel. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break. It's fascinating because Jehu is really a mixed figure in the Bible. I mean, this zealot, and he wants to wipe out Baal worship, but then a lot of what he does is overdone. And a totally controversial figure. You know, you look for, well, Donald Trump is a Cyrus kind of... Donald Trump is like a Jehu kind of leader in other ways. All right, friends, if you're watching on YouTube, stand with us in Jewish ministry. We're making an impact around the world. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Get the book, The Paradigm, along with this exclusive interview that Jonathan Kahn and I are doing, getting into more depth and raising questions that others have raised and wondered about. So a great companion for the book. You can get that on our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. It's also a great way for you to help and stand with us if you appreciate the radio broadcast, if you appreciate watching on YouTube, if you appreciate listening on your podcast or on your app. This is a great way to stand with us and also help us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All right, Jonathan, in the paradigm, the warrior, so Jehu, when he gets to the royal city, something surprising is revealed. What was it?
Well, it's revealed that he was actually there when Elijah gave the prophecy to Ahab about judgment. He was there at that vineyard, and that's where it's revealed that he was completely on the wrong side. He was a servant of Ahab. He was fighting for Baal, and he was at the right hand of Ahab completely. And so Trump was with Clinton. You know, I mean, they were friends of it. He was totally pro-abortion, as we know. But he totally changed because of the call of God, and he ends up coming back to that same vineyard where it all began, and that's where the judgment comes. And actually, you just mentioned something before we came on here, and like he was a mixed figure. Well, when you read the commentaries about Jehu, to this day they cannot make sense. They cannot decide whether he knew God or he didn't know God. Was he godly? Was he anti-godly? But he was used of God. That is the key there. And the same with Donald Trump. He's an enigma, but does God use that? He uses enigmas, and that's the ultimate point here. And so he gets there, and we remember, Michael, all the major polls were saying, you know, Hillary Clinton's going to trounce Donald Trump, it's going to decisively beat the Republicans, but the paradigm said the opposite. The paradigm says when the warrior comes head-to-head with the first lady, and actually he rebukes Jehu actually is rebuking her, and so did Donald Trump, even over abortion, you know, in the debates, but when it comes to the head, it's that what the paradigm said is the former first lady will be defeated and the warrior will be victorious. So Hillary Clinton would be defeated as she was and by, you know, I mean, against all odds, and Trump would be victorious. And the day of that victory and that defeat, both of them are in the same city. Well, in the paradigm, they're both in the same, they're both in the northeastern city of Israel, Jezreel. Well, they're both in New York City. And so comes this surprise victory. So Jehu kind of is the surprise that God had at that moment. But it's not over because he's got to get to the capital city. And when he's heading to the capital city to become king, Jehu's agenda is to drain the swamp. That is the agenda. He's gonna take out the priest of Baal. He's gonna cleanse it, and that's the whole thing. Exactly what Donald Trump, you know, said he would do. And the other thing is that on the way to the throne, Jehu meets a man who called Jehonadab. In the book, it's the chapter called The Holy Man, and all the commentaries identify him. He represents the religious conservatives of the land. And what happens is Jehu makes an alliance with the religious conservatives on his way to power, and that's exactly what Donald Trump did. You know, and without religious conservatives, he would not have won. He would not have been there. And when he gets to the capital city, he gets there with the agenda he's going to end Baal worship. And one of the first things that Donald Trump did, his first executive orders, was to undo those Mexico City policy, all the things that Obama and Clinton had done in order to protect children against abortion. And he said he at least has set that he wants to defund abortion. Well, that's basically Jehu takes away state support for Baal worship. He even destroys the Temple of Baal 2,500 years ago. Well, it's a kind of eerie, fascinating thing. Is across the world there actually existed a Temple of Baal. It existed for 2,000 years, and the paradigm says when the warrior rises, the Temple of Baal falls. Well, in the year that Trump rose, actually in the summer of 2015, same after 2,000 years, the Temple of Baal fell to the ground.
Mm. All right, let's talk about Jezebel for a moment.
Yes.
And again, if you see a parallel between Jezebel and Hillary Clinton, Jezebel dies a horrific death in the Bible. We're praying for
yes.
Hillary Clinton to really, she's yes, been a they, professing Methodist all her life, to really know the Lord and really repent of the yes. wrong stand she's taken. That's our goal. That's
yes.
our hope. But if we just want to look at terms of Jezebel's reign
yes.
and Hillary Clinton's time of influence, how does that work out?
Yeah, well, Hillary Clinton was on the national stage from 1979 to 2001 as with her husband as first lady of Arkansas and then America, and so you have 22 years with her husband. Then she's on her own for 8 years senator, 4 years secretary of state. That's 12 years. She retires from public life for 2 years. Comes back on the public stage on the national stage for 2 more years in running for president. So you got 14 years. So you have 22 years with her husband, 14 years on her own. Well, what about Jezebel? Jezebel was there on the national stage for 22 years with her husband, on her own, 14 years.
Mm. Hey, friends, Jonathan's reading the Bible, seeing these things, then looking at stuff. Again, a lot of what he laid out was before he saw these specific parallels.
Yes. Yes.
And look, I've been there too. It's like, oh my. It's just striking once again. All right, we've just got 2 minutes.
Okay.
The Elijah paradigm.
Yes.
Why is it important that we know it?
Yeah. Well, the ultimate thing is at the end of the book, it speaks about the future things to come, and there's a warning and where we are right now, and there's also a promise where we are right now. Jehu opened up a window of time. Jehu wasn't the answer, and Trump's not the answer, but there's a window right now of religious freedom, and we have to pray for revival. And there's a whole thing on that. But the ultimate thing is the paradigm has inside of it a paradigm within the paradigm that is for the people of God, and that is what we are to do, how we are to rise up, how we're to stand, and how we're to prevail at such a time as this. And the answer is found in Elijah, who's in the paradigm. And I'll just say this: Elijah was not of the status quo. He was radical. He was revolutionary. He was not. He was the candle in the night. And it is time that the people of God, we have to become the candle in the night. We cannot be status quo anymore. We must be a prophetic people. We must become a revolutionary people, and we must become bolder, not more timid, and more completely uncompromised. And there's much to say in this, but the point is the time for being the status quo is over. If America does not turn back to God, it's heading to judgment. It intersects with the harbinger. But now is our time. It could be the greatest time, but it's time. If we sing "These Are the Days of Elijah," it's time at last that we become the Elijahs of the day.
And you believe that with true repentance, there's still hope for America?
Yes, absolutely. If my people, and here's the window we have, just as they had, we have a window now. If my people, God is always more merciful. He's always prejudiced on the road of, or on the way of mercy. We have to pray, if my people, and turn from their evil ways and seek his face, there can be revival. But that's if. That's us, and that's
yeah.
if.
There's an urgency in the air. I feel it. Jonathan
yes.
feels it. And that's why I encourage you to read his books. I want that same urgency to be in your heart, that same fear of God with that same desperate hope for mercy. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for taking a whole hour with us, and may the Lord continue to use you to speak to the nation.
It's always an honor, and you too. God bless you, Mike.
Thanks so much. God bless. All right, friends, once again, here's how you can get our exclusive interview today. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. We'll put this on a CD for you. along with the hardcover book, The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. And again, I wanted to address those that question this, that don't see the parallels, that think this is misusing scripture. Let the evidence speak for itself. Come to your own conclusions. But whatever you come to, recognize God wants to shake us and awaken us today. And he's doing it through his word.